And we back. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sana IE. I'm your host, XO. If it's your first time listening to Sana IE, welcome to the show. What Sana IE is, our mission here is to really educate and inform about mental health, the good, the bad, the ugly, coping mechanisms, triggers, the trauma that correlates with mental health. And every episode we discuss new mental health topics, new mental health scenarios. And with this episode right here, what you'll be getting is types of children from toxic families. And I know you're thinking like, types of children from toxic families. Yeah, there's different types of children that come from toxic families. Like one would be the hero, which I'll get more into as we get deeper into the show. But first, let me kick off the show with some quotes of the day. My first quote is, learn to be grateful for the life you have, even when you're working towards the life you want. Wherever you're at right now in life, be grateful for everything you have, the roof over your head, the opportunity to listen to this podcast, going to work, driving, doing the little things, all this stuff. Even if it's not the life you want right now, be grateful for the life you have, because there are people out there in the world that want what you have, that'll be extremely grateful for everything that you have. And we just have to take a notice of everything that we have that is a blessing and be grateful for it and express more gratitude. Have the opportunities that we have. Not a lot of people have the opportunities that you have, that as you're listening to this episode. So being more grateful for the life that you have right now, even while working for the life you want. We all want a better life. We want time freedom, financial freedom, and things like that. But enjoy the process. Enjoy where you're at right now on your journey, because where you're at right now won't last forever. And you look back like, damn, I remember the times I was having it good, and now it's like, I'm dealing with a whole lot of stuff simply because I have a better life. And there, you know, they say more money, more problems. But at the end of the day, always be grateful for the life that you have. My second quote is, don't give up. The beginnings are always the hardest. You got this. The beginnings are always the hardest. Don't you notice that? Whenever you start anything, any project, any career, any job, anything, the beginning is always the hardest, because you're learning yourself. You're learning new things about yourself when you start something new, when you start a career, start a job, any journey that you're starting fresh. You're learning, okay, how do I operate on this road? What I need to do? What habits do I need to have? And you'll get bombarded with obstacles, but it's life. Every obstacle is a part of the journey, a part of your path. So I know there'll be times you want to give up when you're starting fresh, but don't give up. The hard part is always in the beginning. And as you get past the first hurdle, the second hurdle, the third hurdle, you become immune to all the obstacles on your path. You get used to it, that you embrace the hurdles that you got through. Because at the end of the day, you can look back and tell yourself like, man, when I started this, I was really dealing with a lot of hurdles, but those hurdles helped with my growth in life. And that's what we have to see it as beginning of anything. It's going to be hard, but it's a part of us to grow and get better at. So wherever you're at in your journey, don't give up. The beginning's always the hardest. You got this. And I'm gonna give you our brief break, and we're gonna hop into the show with types of children from toxic families. Thank you for tuning in to Sana IE. Have you been having problems getting focused or staying focused in your life or different areas in your life? You've been wondering, what is a way I can start being more focused or being more focused and in tune with every situation around me? And one of the things I recommend personally that I've been using for years now, but it's been great, helping me with my brain focus, helping me with being more present and mindful of everything around me, is the app Calm. The Calm app uses different techniques to have you meditate, as well as open your mindfulness and open your mind to different possibilities, as well as calming yourself and centering you. So if you haven't used the Calm app yet, or you still been contemplating on, dang, is meditation for me? They have different ones where you can meditate for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You can also set the timer for yourself. trying it out and seeing how you feel after. Let me know. Download the app. Let's get back to the show. And we back. And we back. And we back. And we back. The first segment up for discussion is types of children from toxic families. And the first one will be the hero. The hero child is often perfectionistic, an overachiever who the family can point to as a solid example, supporting the family's facet of doing well. In reality, they are in a constant state of misery and carry the burden of sadness from their narcissistic parents. Narcissistic parents abuse children in the worst way possible, whether physically or emotionally. As a result, the child feels immense pressure to outperform to receive love. The hero may be drawn to relationships where their partner is emotionally unavailable and hypocritical. The hero. Does that sound like you? Did you have a toxic childhood where you had to be an overachiever just to see or receive that love from the people around you, or receive that love from your family members, or receive the love even from your parents? Because I know how it is. Some parents put a lot of pressure on their kids to be an all-star, be a scholar, be the best of the best, instead of letting them enjoy their childhood and letting them enjoy the friendships that they have. They put all that pressure on the kids to be top-notch. And some kids can handle it and some kids can't. And the hero is often a perfectionist, and they want to always be the perfect person, the perfect kid growing up. Even now, even when it comes to selecting relationships with their partners, they select people that's emotionally unavailable as well as hypocritical. Does that sound like you? Or even if you're a parent right now, listen to this. Are you that narcissistic parent where you're always abusing a child physically or emotionally? I know some of my audience doesn't do physical abuse, but even emotional. Sometimes we don't understand the triggers that can hurt the kids that we're speaking to or the kids in our family, because we just react off emotions instead of being aware of the situation at hand and handling the person that we're talking to. So number one is the hero. Number two will be the lost child or the dreamer. The lost child hides and isolates in their room, reading, writing, drawing, creating their own world to disconnect from the never-ending chaos in the family. They get so used to the loneliness that it becomes their normal, and connecting with others a big deal. This is early self-isolation becomes a big block later in adulthood, preventing them from performing and sustaining deep connections. As an adult, the lost child may struggle with relationships and romantic relationships. Were you the lost child? Were you the dreamer? The one that locks themselves in the room, just creates all day, writes, draws, reads, and really self-isolates. And I've seen this a few times in different childhood, in different homes as I was growing up. There would be, some of my friends would be self-isolated to get away from the chaos of the family. The family always having drama, always being at each other's necks, fighting, or even drug abuse or even alcohol abuse in the household, to where they just have to self-isolate and really create their own world where everything is peaceful. So that's number two, the lost child or the dreamer. The number three, the mascot or the class clown. These kids, they act as peacemakers in the family and other places. They lighten the stressful environment by cracking jokes and being goofy. Whenever the tension escalates in the family, they try to diffuse it by replacing anger, stress, and conflict with humor and fun. They appear jolly and cheerful to the outside world, but deep down, they struggle with immense pain, anxiety, and depression. I know we've all had class clowns in our classes. And how should I put this? Those class clowns, I know you're probably reflecting back now. Did it seem like the people that were class clowns or the mascot, however it was, parading around busting jokes in class, didn't it seem like they was hurting but they were crying out for help, but they wasn't receiving the right help at the time because the teacher may have thought, oh, they're clowning around. They're always clowning around in my class, and they just want to send us to the principal's office or send them to detention. But overall, sometimes it's really the child screaming for help or asking for help, but that they don't know how to properly ask for help, that they become the class clown or the mascot instead of open up and asking for help, because they're probably embarrassed about everything that's going on at home. Not a lot of people or not a lot of kids like to talk about what's going on at home. So that's the mascot or the class clown. And number four would be the scapegoat. I know a few scapegoats. That's crazy. But the scapegoat. Narcissistic parents don't take responsibility for their behavior. The function of a scapegoat is to carry the sins and shame for the entire family so that they can point at the scapegoat and say, see, we are all perfect except for that one over there. Scapegoat is kind of like the ugly duckling. I know we all heard of the ugly duckling. The scapegoat is often the child that toxic parents are the most ashamed of, and because of this, the child feels rejected, unlovable, and isolated. Narcissists use their children to regulate their emotions. They engage in splitting behaviors like splitting one sibling from the other to create a camp of allies through different treatment. The scapegoat. Were you the scapegoat in your family? What about anybody that you knew growing up in any different childhood, your friends? Were they the scapegoat to where the family wasn't showing them that much love? They was treating them like the ugly duckling. I'm pretty sure we know a few scapegoats in our lives, and this is one of the reasons. The narcissistic parents like to put the blame on the child for not being perfect, not being an overachiever, not being the best of the best. But at the end of the day, it's all about showing love to the children, to the kids, and not really belittling them simply because some childhood trauma that you dealt with. And that's what a lot of times where a lot of this toxicity comes from, is from stimulating from the adult's childhood. At the end of the day, childhood trauma carries over into adulthood, and sometimes the parents project what they've done or what they've been through onto their children unknowingly and knowingly. So if you're a parent right now listening to this, be aware of your treatment towards your children, no matter the situation. At the end of the day, you always have to see the bigger picture and always think long term instead of thinking in the situation. It's like, as adults, whenever we get triggered or whenever we feel our kids try to challenge us, we like to show them who's the bigger person. But at the end of the day, it's about winning the war and not winning the battle. And number five would be the caretaker. The caretaker, or the martyr, attempts to keep everyone happy and often supports the family's dysfunctional behavior to avoid conflict. The caretaker child feels like they have to keep the family going by any means, so they take over all the responsibilities and problems of narcissistic parents, encourage other family members not to force negative consequences onto narcissistic parents for their abusive behavior. The caretaker. I feel like I've known or came across each of these type of people who developed into these people now, but throughout my life. And the caretaker, I often see it where there's that one sibling, that one person that really just takes over everything within the family. All the family chaos, they put it on their shoulders, and they try to make their parents look glorified in a way, but at the end of the day, other family members see it. So the caretaker feels like it's their responsibility to keep the family going by any means, even if they have the narcissistic parents. And they encourage other family members not to really judge or criticize their parents for their behaviors, because at the end of the day, they don't want their parents to be criticized. They want to take that upon themselves to be criticized, or as well as don't want their parents to be shown like that because they see them in a different perspective. But overall, those are the five types of children from toxic families. Which one are you? Are you the hero, the lost child, or the dreamer, the mascot, or the class clown, the scapegoat, or the caretaker? And me personally, I'm not even sure, like, because this relates to toxic families. And for me, I'm grateful that my family wasn't toxic growing up. I had a great childhood, so I can't really suggest either one of these that I am. But I want to know, if you was raised in a toxic family, which one relates more to you? Let me know. Check us out on the Sanae Facebook group. Let's open up a discussion about that. I appreciate y'all for tuning in. I'm going to give y'all a brief break, and we're going to hop into segment number two, things that kill your mental strength. Thank y'all for tuning in to Sanae. If you've been wondering, how can I learn a new language? What is one of the best ways to learn a new language, especially when I'm always on the go? I have no time to really sit down, read a book, or watch different videos on language learning. Well, what I recommend is using an app that I've been really steadily using as I've been learning Spanish. And the app is Duolingo. With this app, you're learning the language that you want to learn. It starts off easy, but as you gradually go on, learn more and more, it gets harder by the way. But the fact that it only takes 15, 20 minutes out your day to really sit, learn that language, and learning that language, and you retaining that information, you're bound to be fluent in the language that you want to be fluent in. So if you don't have the app already, go ahead and check out the Duolingo app. Let me know what you think. Let's get back to the show. We back. And our next segment up for discussion is things that kill your mental strength. And the first one is the biggest one, which is staying in your comfort zone. The comfort zone is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous place. It's like the sunken place, a dark abyss where anyone who remains there too long loses his or herself entirely. Staying within your comfort zone is like slowly giving up on life. In order for you to grow, you'll have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Life will try to box you in, and some become submissive, and some embrace the uncomfortability. The question is, which one are you? In the comfort zone, I'm just thinking myself, because I used to live in the comfort zone. I used to be comfortable there. I used to took up stock there, took up real estate there. And the comfort zone never helped me out to get anything I wanted. It was just me going through the cycles of life, going day by day, day by day, day by day, day by day, and really staying comfortable. Because it's like when you get in that comfort zone, you don't want to have no change. You don't want anything to change. You want everything to stay the same. You just want to be in that comfort zone. But if you want your life to change, if you want different for yourself and for your life, you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. The comfort zone is just know where you need to be. And that comfort zone is dangerous. It's dark. It's like the sunken place. It's like quicksand. You get there, you get stuck there, and you look 5 years down the line, you're like, dang, I had dreams, I had aspirations, but I just got comfortable. Life made me get comfortable. And that's what life does. Life will make you get comfortable with things. It'll put things in your path to make you slow down, to not give you that momentum, to make you, hey, let me take a pit stop. And that pit stop end up turning into retirement. So staying in your comfort zone, that's one of the things that kills your mental strength. Number two is keeping a closed mind. You have to approach every situation with, I don't know everything. And we really don't know everything. Even the things you believe yourself are likely not to be entirely true. If you keep a closed mind, you're preventing yourself from learning new material. Always keep an open mind to any and every situation, especially when if somebody's trying to educate you in some thing that they know. Even if you feel like you know it all and they're trying to teach you from their perspective, learn to listen, not talk. That's why we were blessed with two ears and one mouth. So keeping an open mind all the time will build your mental strength. Keeping a closed mind will diminish your mental strength. If you stop learning, you stop living. Over the years, I've been closed-minded. And honestly, it didn't get me nowhere. I was closed-minded, stuck in my comfort zone. And those two things don't help out. I lost opportunities. Then I decided, let me start opening my mind more. And one of the things I did was meditation. And me meditating really helped me develop keeping an open mind to any and every situation instead of being closed-minded, closed off, thinking I know it all. Because at the end of the day, I don't know it all. But I will learn from other people around me to try to know it all. But at the end of the day, we won't know it all because there's always something new to learn within anything in life. But my question for you is, are you a closed-minded person? Are you an open-minded person? And be honest with yourself. Let me know. Number three, delegating your own decisions. Only you should be making your own decisions. You can't allow others to make them for you. All this does is shift the responsibility from you to someone else. If you don't have the courage to fail, then you don't have the courage to succeed. If you don't have the courage to fail, then you don't have the courage to succeed. We have to make our own decisions for ourselves. We can't delegate those tasks to anybody else. We have to be the main decision makers in our lives. And we have to really take control of every decision that we make. We can't let other people decide what we do, how we do it, and when we do it. The question you have to ask yourself is, have I been making my own decisions lately, or has life been making decisions for me? Number four, getting jealous over success. When others succeed, you should be happy. There's enough success for everyone, and you aren't to blame if you've been programmed like this. We've all been programmed to believe that there isn't enough. We've all been programmed to think there's scarcity in life. But in reality, there's abundance. There's plenty of success to go around for everybody. We just have to change our way of thinking. That's what it really comes down to. We have that closed-minded thinking, that boxed-in thinking that we get jealous when other people around us get successful or get their success or reap their blessings. Instead of us being congratulating them and giving them a clap in the hand, reward them and let them know, yo, I'm proud of the success that you made. And we have to know that our success is coming, our blessings is coming. But when you start to get jealous over someone else's success, you block your blessings. So if there's anybody in your life that's been successful recently and you've been low-key having that low-key shade, that low-key hate, nah, let that go. Because at the end of the day, you're only blocking your blessings, blocking what you're supposed to be receiving because you're being tested. You're being tested to see, are you still going to be 10 toes down no matter what, no matter if the people around you, your neighbors, get their success before you get yours, even though you've been putting more work and time in. That's what you have to ask yourself, like, nah, I got to be patient. I remain patient because my bigger blessing is on the way. I can't get jealous over what everybody else is doing. Your blessing is coming. You have to just tell yourself, if they can do it, I can do it. The success of others doesn't mean or doesn't lessen the chances of you succeeding. We have to start celebrating other people's success, and that'll give us the belief and motivation to pursue our success. Our success is on the way. Number five, feeling sorry for yourself. This is what will kill your mental strength too. Feeling sorry for yourself. Nobody's coming to save you. You only have you, so you can't feel sorry for yourself. The more you feel sorry for yourself, the more you put yourself back. You can feel sorry for yourself for 5-10 minutes, maybe a day, the most, but you still got to get back up and get back on the road and get back on your journey. Understand, shit happens. Life isn't all roses and butterflies at the end of the day. Your life will fall apart. You'll glue it back together, fall apart again. It's life. You'll fail in life again and again, but you don't have to see it as failure. You have to see failure as learning lessons in life. We're constantly learning. Life is a teacher and we are the students. The question is, are you strong enough to keep going after you meet failure after failure? Are you the type to give up? And number six, being impatient. Oh, this relates to me so much because I was an impatient person, but once again, shout out to meditation. It's really been helping me with my patience, building my patience over time. And we have to remember, patience is a virtue. Anything you want in life, your patience will be tested. Anything you want. Learning to be patient in every situation will help you in the long run. You want to know why most people fail? It's not because they aren't good enough. and it's not because they're incapable of winning or succeeding. Most people fail because they're impatient and they give up before the time has come. Anything you want in life, your patience will be tested. Learn to embrace patience. That's why they say patience is a virtue. Everything comes when you've been patient. You can't rush the process. You have to trust the process and know that what's meant for you is coming. It's just taking a little longer to get there. So being impatient is one of the ways you kill your mental strength. Learn to have patience. Love the patience. Love the wait. Love the journey. Love every step that you're on. Learn to be patient. Grow your patience over time. It won't happen overnight. Number 7, feeling like you are owed. You aren't owed anything in life. You being born was a blessing, but the rest is up to you. Life doesn't owe you anything. If you want something in life, you only owe it to yourself to go out and get it. Nobody owes you shit. You have to hold yourself accountable. You have to get up and get on your grind and get what you have to do to get what you want. Nobody's going to come give it to you. Nobody's going to come knock on your door like, oh, you won the lottery. Here's your check. No, you have to go get what you want in life. You're not owed anything. Go take what you want. Number 8, repeating mistakes. This is huge. Repeating mistakes. Take a second and ask yourself, have you repeated the same mistakes lately? Has life been teaching you the same lessons just with different people, different situations, different careers? Trust me, I've been there. And we'll be going through the same cycle of lessons instead of stepping back and analyzing every situation. You'll come up with the same end result with everything. You won't see the lesson, but you'll feel it. Like, dang, I feel like I've been through this before. It's like deja vu. But it's just life trying to teach you that you keep constantly making the same mistakes after mistakes, and you're not learning from your mistakes. So you have to continuously learn or continuously go through that same cycle. But once you step back and analyze and know, like, lately I've been making the same mistakes and I've been feeling like I'm going through the same cycle with the same mistake, but I know I've been making it. Now let me try a different path, a different direction to go. And if you've been this way, so one of the things that I suggest doing is journaling at the end of the night, just laying it all out there, how your day was, everything that's been on your mind, any mistakes that you made, any failures that you made, any connections or lessons that you made. It's really journal at night. It's like your own personal diary. I know fellas like, oh, I don't get no diary. It's your own personal journal. Write everything that you're feeling in your journal at the end of the night. Let it all go. And in the morning, don't even read it. Move on to the next page. In the morning, write down 5 things that you want to happen during the day. And once you start journaling, you become more self-aware and emotionally aware of yourself and the certain situation that you're in and the certain people in your life. So if you haven't started journaling, that's one of the things I recommend. But that right there are the 8 lessons or tips that will kill your mental strength. Number 1, staying in your comfort zone. Number 2, keeping a closed mind. Number 3, delegating your own decisions. Number 4, getting jealous over success. Number 5, feeling sorry for yourself. Number 6, being impatient. Number 7, feeling like you're owed. And number 8, repeating mistakes. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning into today's episode of Sana. I appreciate everybody that's been listening, tuning in, man. Man, these months is literally be blowing by quick, but I'm happy we're getting close to October. October, November, December are my 3 favorite months of the year. I can't wait. And I appreciate y'all tuning in. If you feel like this episode helped you out with learning more about toxic children from toxic families or things that kill your mental strength, share this with somebody. Share this with anybody that you know that listens to podcasts. I greatly appreciate it, and I greatly appreciate y'all. And as right now, we're doing a deal for our merch. It's buy one, get one 50% off, and that's up until midnight. So click the link in the show notes to get buy one, get one 50% off. I greatly appreciate the support. Thank y'all, and I'm gonna leave y'all with this. Calm mind. A calm mind brings inner strength and self-confidence. So that's very important for good health. Enjoy y'all week.